This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, this week on Cross Hope, a message from Luke 11, beginning at verse 37, about the blinding power of pride in your life. Did you know that pride can blind you to seeing things in your own life as well as in the lives of family members, people you work with? How do I know that? Listen to Luke 11, 37 and following. God bless you this week. Pride will blind you to seeing the most important things in your life. Here they go. Pride will blind you to seeing your need for forgiveness. Pride will blind you to your need to forgive somebody. One of the main reasons that people have trouble forgiving other people is pride. It's humbling to be forgiven, but it's also humbling to be the forgiver. It's humbling to be the forgiven, and it's humbling to be the forgiver sometimes. And we don't forgive people out of pride. You hurt me, and I won't forgive you. And we use pride oftentimes to not forgive. Pride will blind you for your need to be thankful. So many men will tell you, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps, and I earned every dime I made, and I've earned every promotion I've got, and I've earned every job that I've worked at. There's only one problem. You know what it is? It's a lie. Everything is a gift from God. Every nickel you have made, hand of God. Every job promotion, hand of God. Every house you've moved in, hand of God. God has had a hand in everything. The Lord says, I bring disaster and I bring blessing. You know what that means? He takes responsibility for all of it. He takes responsibility for all of it. I've been intrigued with the idea this week about blindness. Here's what I found, that being blind doesn't always mean that a person lives in total darkness. 49% of blind people and 80% of partially sighted people can recognize a friend at arm's length. I didn't know that. That 49% of blind people and 80% of partially sighted people can still recognize a friend at arm's length. Other people will be affected by eye conditions in different ways. Some will have no central vision or no vision to the sides. Others may see a patchwork of blank and defined areas, or else everything may be seen as a vague blur. Glaucoma can result in tunnel vision, where all side vision is lost and only central vision remains. Diabetic retinopathy can cause blurred and patchy vision. Macular degeneration can lead to a loss of central vision while the side vision remains. It should be remembered that people are affected by eye conditions in different ways. Don't assume that you know that what someone can see simply because you know the eye condition they have. You may not know. Meaning this, I've met people who said, I just thought my eyes were going bad. They didn't realize they're going blind. Would you listen to that again? I have met people in my life who said, you know, my eyes are giving me problems. They're going bad. They didn't realize they were going blind. Do you know where that happens? In a man's soul, in a woman's soul, because of pride. Pride will blind you to stuff going on in your own life that you never see because you're blind. Pride will blind a man or woman not to see the needs in other people in their own family because they're blind. We're going to talk about blindness of a group of people known as the Pharisees.
Well, this message from Luke 11 will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. I hope you know our website is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
The Pharisees were a religious sect in New Testament times who were very religious to a fault. They were good people in the worst sense of the word. You ever heard that expression? Some of you didn't hear it. They were good people in the worst sense of the word. They were interested in how they looked to other people religiously. That can happen to you. It can happen to me. How do I appear? What are people perceiving about me?
And that's what they were interested in, that, but they were blind to their own sin. And you know who they were blind to most of all? Jesus. Seeing Christ and their need for Christ, they were above him. Think about that for a minute. You talk about arrogance to say, I'm above Jesus. They really believe that. How do I know that? Because of what I read today. We've been in Luke 11 the last 3 weeks, by the way. When Jesus, verse 37, had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. It's interesting. You know, we talked about this, that being hospitable is actually a spiritual act. I mentioned this in an upcoming sermon on the radio, that one of the saddest conversations I've had with people over the years in counseling are people that said, you know, I can never remember my mom and dad inviting anybody over for anything. We never had anybody over for coffee. We never had anybody over for a meal. And those people, as adults, feel that they have been deprived of social opportunities and learning opportunities because their parents absolutely refused to have anybody over. And so there is a spiritual dimension to hospitality that most Christian people don't even understand. Listen to that again. There's a spiritual dimension to hospitality that even Christian people don't understand. And I felt sorry for those people who said, we never invited anyone over. And yet you have a Pharisee who invited Jesus over for lunch. According to one of the commentaries, the word that's used there has to do with lunch, whatever that means, as opposed to dinner. But he had no idea what was going to happen to him. Because Jesus, to put it bluntly, was going to unload on him about his pride. He really did. Do you know what that tells me? Jesus does not take kindly to pride in a Pharisee's life, or your life, or my life. Would you listen to that again? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, does not take kindly to pride in a Pharisee's life, or in your life, or in my life. So he had no idea what was going to transpire at the lunch. Look at verse 38. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. This was not talking about how parents today say, wash your hands so your hands are clean when we have dinner. It wasn't a physical cleanliness thing or germophobia kind of thing. It was done ceremonially. Get this, you would hold out your hands, and there was even a ritual how you washed your hands. You would let the water run on your fingertips first, and then it would come up to your wrist, and you would turn your hands over. Then you would take a fist, and you would rub your fist into the palm of one hand and then your fist into the other. And it was very symbolic of ceremonially cleansing yourself before the meal. It was more of a ritual than it was an act of cleanliness. And the Pharisees, surprised, Jesus didn't do it. And that's when Jesus looks at him in 39 and says, then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness.
Well, that's certainly a strong statement that Jesus made to the Pharisee. We'll continue tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
And the Pharisee, surprised, Jesus didn't do it. And that's when Jesus looks at him in 39 and says, then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. Who has washed dishes in the last month? Anybody? Male, female, young or old, doesn't matter. Can you imagine washing dishes and all you did was wash the outside of the pan, the outside of the plate and on the bottom of the plate, but you never touched the plate, you never touched the inside of the pan? And that's the analogy Jesus uses. Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. Would you eat off a plate or a pan that wasn't washed at all? You'd feel at least a little bit uncomfortable. So I don't feel good about eating on this plate. And that's the analogy that Jesus, the Son of God, uses with this man who's thinking askance about Jesus not washing his hands. You wash the outside of the cup and dish, But notice what he says inside they were full of. Do you know why it's very significant for you to notice this? Because Jesus knew what the man was full of. Now, I know that sounds like I'm playing with words, but I'm not. Jesus knew exactly what was in the life of that man, and he said, inside, you are full of greed and wickedness. Can you imagine having somebody over for lunch, and they look at you, and I perceive that you're full of greed and wickedness. Well, thank you very much. God bless you. You would be offended. You would be offended if somebody did that, and that's what Jesus did. And let me tell you something. He did it with sincerity. He did it in humility, and he did it with love. He did it with love to this man. He loved the man. He said, you're full of greed and full of wickedness. Just as a side note here, I do this with Scripture. Jesus looked at him and said, would you put yourself in that conversation, that scenario right now? Let's and I'll do the same with me. You Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. If the Lord were to speak to you today, you finish the sentence, and he's talking to you, he's talking to me. You are full of what? You fill in the blank. You know what? Most men know what the answer is. Most women know what the answer is. Most young people, most teenagers know what the answer is because they know what their life is full of. They know, you know what your life is full of. Some people, your life is full of hatred. You know, some people have a list. Well, I hate him and I hate her. And I hate this group of people at school. So we all have our list. We're full of hate. We can be full of resentment. We can be full of jealousy. We can be full of bitterness. Bitterness is a response to a wound. We've been hurt by somebody and we grow bitter. I say this a lot in sermons. So I'll say it here. Bitterness never starts out as a sin. Never starts out as a sin. But let it go long enough and it will become the sin of your life. Do you understand that? That whatever you're bitter about, if you let it go long enough, that will become the driving force of your life. Bitterness develops a life of its own. It develops an energy and a power, a sphere of activity of its own.
Well, part four of this message from Luke 11:37 tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
Verse 40, you foolish people. Whenever you see the word fool or foolish in the Bible, it doesn't mean somebody who's stupid, you know, intellectually. The word foolish in the Bible doesn't mean low IQ. It means not somebody with a mental deficiency, it's somebody with a character deficiency. It gives a whole new way of looking at the word fool or foolish. You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. People have speculated, why did Jesus say to this man, this Pharisee, about giving stuff to the poor? It's probably because he never gave anything to the poor. And I think that's probably a good observation. You know, Jesus is very specific in his analysis of you or me. He really is. The Lord will reveal things to you about you that he won't reveal to anyone else, but it applies to you. You know when that happens? Sunday mornings. You can talk to 10 people leaving here today, and what did you get out of the message today? And you may get 10 different responses. Does that mean the message was confusing? No, it just means the Lord spoke to those people about what was going on in their life. That's all. We can use the same verse to speak in different ways to different people. You can use the same passage to speak in 15, 20 different ways to people because they heard what they needed to hear. They heard what they needed to hear. Look at verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. Again, I'm going to go back to my theory. Why did he say to this man, you've neglected justice and the love of God? Because he was neglecting justice and the love of God. That's why. He knew the heart of that man better than the man knew himself. And Jesus said, you should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. I'm really serious today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving of asking the Lord to reveal to you, all of us, every man, every woman, every young person in this room, Lord, would you reveal to my spirit what you see in my life? Just as you were with this Pharisee and you're having lunch with him and you saw that he was full of greed and wickedness and you saw that he had no love of God and he had no love for justice, what do you see in my life? Do you know what you need to prepare for? The truth. The Lord never speaks in uncertain terms. The Lord doesn't beat around the bush. He speaks in direct words to you about what's in your life, in my life. He really will. And he will reveal to your spirit things that you would never think about on your own. He would reveal to your heart things that you've never felt before. He will reveal to your mind things you've never known before. He will reveal to your spirit things you've never felt before because he's God. Verse 43. Now this is an interesting one. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. So you love to be recognized in the community as spiritual leaders. And the point here is that Jesus is not interested in you or me being spiritually recognized. He's interested in us helping people, working with people, being a blessing to people. That's the point of verse 43. Richard is from Framingham, Massachusetts. I'm not sure where that is. I think it's near Boston. I'm assuming it is Framingham. He's a lawyer, and I want you to hear about his comment about how he entered the field of law that he entered. It's really interesting. Not long after I graduated from law school, he said, almost by happenstance, I fell into an area of legal practice that would define my professional career for over 20 years. Practicing bankruptcy law. What I've learned from my work is that bankruptcy is really about forgiveness. People who come to the bankruptcy process burdened with all of their sense of personal disgrace, and they leave the process with a discharge of debts that gives them a fresh start financially and a new lease of their lives emotionally. What I have been privileged to witness is the incredible renewal of spirit in these people simply by the fact of a financial form of forgiveness. Now, it doesn't stop there. It's powerful just what he said right there, that people are blessed by financial forgiveness and it gives them a new start in life. But then he goes in to say something really personal. Perhaps as a result of my experience as a bankruptcy attorney, I have long ago forgiven my father for all the pain that his conflict with my mother caused me growing up, as well as all the other events that came afterward. What was interesting is that my father felt that I was the better man than he for having forgiven him. But what he didn't understand was that my forgiveness was not just a gift to him, it was a gift I gave myself. By forgiving him, I let go of all the emotional baggage that I had been carrying with me. So many people have nurtured their pain for so long, they can't even conceive of their lives being defined by anything else. Do you get that? You can be so bitter that you can't even picture a life without bitterness. You can be so hateful toward a parent or a brother or sister or a son or daughter that you can't even imagine your life without that hatred in your life. And the only one who can relieve that burden is the one who met with a Pharisee for lunch at his house and said, you're full of greed and wickedness. and you have no love for God and you have no love for justice, I want to suggest to you that that conversation with Jesus did one of two things to that Pharisee. His life either changed right then and there, or he went deeper into his hatred and deeper into his wickedness and deeper into his addictions and deeper into sin, because that's what happens. When confronted with Christ, I have found that people either say one or two things: I need that in my life, or I don't want that in my life and I'm going back to the old life. Choose. Decide this Thanksgiving that this passage speaks to you about blindness in life. Remember, 49% of people who are blind are not totally blind. They still can recognize a friend at arm's length, but they're still blind. And so it is, your blindness may be at a different level than the person next to you, but we're all blind without Christ.
Well, my friend, is it possible the Lord is speaking to you through Luke 11 by saying to you and me what he said to a Pharisee? Your heart is full of greed and wickedness. You have a heart that neglects love for God and neglects justice. Is that possible for you and me? Yes, it is. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.